Thanks for tuning in to this week's message. For more resources and information about Cedar Valley, please visit cvchurch.org.
I'm going to let you sit because you've stood so much already, but I'm going to read our primary passage, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. If you feel like I can't do that, then stand to your feet, but if not, stay sitting. No judge zone today. It's Unite Sunday. Everything's different. I'm going to read out of Luke chapter. Oh, really? Really? You didn't need a break. All right, we're going to stand for this morning for the whole message. Luke chapter 7, we're going to pick up verse 13. We'll read through 15. Luke 7, starting at verse 13 and through 15. Let's just read it all together. Let's have some fun. Ready? When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Father, over the course of the next few minutes, we ask that you would speak directly to our heart. Do it in such a way that we would leave this place knowing God himself spoke to me. He spoke to me in a part of my life that no others are really aware of. You spoke directly to my heart. Encourage us today with your word, God, and continue to unite our hearts as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. And together, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I thought about all week long, you know, what is it that unites us right here at Cedar Valley? We are a church that has been put together from, man, we got people from all walks of life represented in this church. And I love that. So much. I ask myself, what is it that actually unites us? And just so you know, I'm not from Minnesota, but I've been in Minnesota 3 years, and so some of the things in Minnesota are growing on me, and that's true for a lot of you. You weren't born here. You weren't even born in this country. You find yourself in Minnesota, raising your children here in Minnesota, and some of these things are like starting to like become important to you. So some of the things I thought about that unites us here together for sure would be the lakes, right? The lakes are important to the people of Minnesota. We, every opportunity we can, we find ourselves out on the lakes, whether that be running around one, walking around one, swimming in one, fishing in one, floating in one on a boat or paddleboard, whatever it is, but just being around the lakes for sure. And for most of you, it's Vikings football, right? Vikings football is very important to you, right? It's my second favorite team. Of course, the Broncos are my number one, but I like the Vikings. My children like the Vikings number one, so that's cool, right? That's important. But those are two things that kind of bring us together as a church body, right? So then what are the things that unite us when it comes to, like, what are the things we hate, right? And I know hate's a big word. We're just using it in a playful manner. But what are the two things that we hate? Number one, I'll tell you what I hate. I hate these things. These mosquitoes are from hell. I'm serious. Like, these things are bad. They ruin a perfect evening in Minnesota. How many of you say amen to that? For real. Like, they just ruin the party. Ain't nobody invite you. What are you doing here? And I've tried everything. I go with a blowtorch now, just blow that thing all around the whole time. I hate mosquitoes. And then the second thing we hate around here for sure is these guys right here, right? We hate these guys. Yeah. Now, I'm learning to hate them, so I hate the Packers. I'm learning to hate them, but I hate the Raiders and I hate the Cowboys. That hate's real. So I'm just saying, but for the sake of Cedar Valley Church, together we all hate the Packers, right? And not the Packer fans necessarily, but the Packers for sure. But what's the main thing that unites us? And we say this a lot around here. This is what really unites us, right? It's the cross, right? It's Cedar Valley. We call this place home. This is our home church. There's a lot of great churches all throughout the community. Leave that there for just a moment. There's a lot of great churches all throughout the community. There really is. You know, this is not the only good church in the area. There's a lot of great churches, but this so happens to be the church where you and I call home, right? This is where we kind of come together, unite our hearts and efforts and resources, and together we're making great impact in this neighborhood and all around the world. We have this in common, right? But above that, the cross, the empty cross, is what really brought us together. Jesus brought us together because Jesus found you wherever you were when he found you. He also found me. And together, like, salvation's one thing we have in common. We are unified under this umbrella of, like, Jesus, right? We are are believers of the way. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus, right? We have our story. We have our background. We have our experiences, our professions, our hobbies, our likes and interests. We have all those things, and we're not united on a lot of those. But what we are united on is we are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, right? That's what brings us together. That's why we're, that's one of our unities, right? We are unified under the banner of Jesus. We often think that when we come together and we do acts of service and we volunteer and we do these things, we downplay those things. And I just want you to know, as I've already said, nothing you do for the kingdom of God, nothing you do is goes overlooked. It all is a spiritual thing. It's an act of service. It's a sacrifice of praise. And today, I want us to really understand that when we do good things for other people, it is very pleasing to God. And when we say this word sacrifice, boy, we mean sacrifice. You know, it's not because of a few people, but the sacrifices of many. I thought about sacrifices defined as surrendering something as an offering to God, surrendering your time. For sure, there's a sacrifice of time for the volunteers around this place. For sure, there's a sacrifice of resources and money. If it wasn't for the great sacrifice that we make every week, did I just go out? Is that a cue that the food is ready to go? Am I back on? I got you. All right, get the keyboard out here. Let's get this thing wrapped up. You know I'm ready to eat. I called all my friends and said, bring your smoked meat. That's going to be on top of the nachos today. I'm telling you, a bunch of people brought smoked meat. It's going to be awesome. Oh, you know where I was. Oh. Sacrifice our resources. You know, we can never have the impact in our Lead the Way booklet, all the different projects and partners and missionaries all around the world, all the things we do here in our community. Those things would never be possible if it wasn't for the sacrifice of your giving. Your sacrifice of your giving. And here's the thing is, I realized this today that it's not your service is not in place of anything, it's in addition to everything. It's not like you exchange time, I'm going to work at Cedar Valley this weekend, so therefore I'm not going to go do this. No, it's all on top of like real life stuff, right? You have work every week, you have a family to take care of and manage, you have your own issues in life to manage. And you still make it a priority to come and serve here at your church. You still make it a priority to open your home and host your life group. You still show up early and stay late. And you do this on a weekly basis. Maybe you do this every other week. Maybe you do it once a month. Today, we want to honor you and say thank you. And if it wasn't for your sacrifice, we could never do the things that we're doing around here. The second thing is, I just want to, if you're not serving right now, this service could be potentially a little uncomfortable. And we're not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable. If anything, our secondary goal this morning is to inspire you despite the circumstances that you have, in spite of the circumstances that you face today. We want you to know there is room on this team for you. There is room on every single team at this church for you. We believe that serving is more fun. It makes it more fun. But man, are you needed? You are needed this morning. And if you're not serving on a team, there's a booth out there. You go put your name there. Someone's going to call you. We want to add you to the team. There's always room for more people. And God does great things, transformative things when you sign up and you become part of a team. You know, one of the things that unites us as well as this prayer, and I think we're all praying this prayer recently, that's this: Lord, make me more like you. Because we realize that when we serve, we're never more like Jesus. You know that, right? When you're serving, you're never more like Jesus than when you're serving. And the prayer that we ought to continue to pray is, Lord, make me more like you. Lord, make me more like you. Close your eyes. Lord, in this moment, right now, speak to our heart. Lord, make us more like you. Give us more awareness of what's happening around us. Give us more opportunities to serve. God, help me, help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So to our passage, we're going to see an example of Jesus being Jesus And so we're going to kind of fly through this story, right? So let me just read this couple verses to you of the story. Pick it up in verse 11. So soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. So it's important to know Jesus is in Capernaum, and he's going to go to Nain. And you know, you could easily just read this and not really understand the context. Just so you know, these cities are 25 miles apart. And they don't have an SUV, they don't have a church van, they don't have a bus. They've got their patamobile, right? Their feet, that's what they've got. They've got their feet, 25 miles. Who wakes up today and says, you know what, babe, you wanna go have lunch in Hastings? Yeah, let's walk. Let's walk to Hastings today and grab lunch on the Mississippi River. Does that sound amazing? 8 hours worth of walking, Jesus makes his way to Nain, right? This story is only recorded in the book of Luke, and a large crowd is following him. So you're going to go to lunch in a large crowd, not a small crowd. Large crowd is coming with, right? And we're all walking to Hastings after church for this tailgate party. Who's coming? Verse 12, when they get to Nain, a funeral procession was coming out, and as he, Jesus, approached the village gate, the young man who died was a widow's only son, and another large crowd from the village was with her. So now we have one large crowd coming from Capernaum to Nain, and we have a large crowd coming from the inside of Nain, outside of Nain, because they need to bury a young man who has died. Two large crowds coming together, right? And this widow, the Bible says that it was the widow's only son. So now this is her second death, right? She's already buried her husband. And then just today, her son, her only son, has now passed away. And they are on a funeral procession out to bury him. That's the context. So this widow must be extremely broken and lonely. This means a lot in her culture. This means that now she has no provider. This is true today as it was then. Parents aren't supposed to bury their children. But that's what's happening here. So this mom is brokenhearted. Her only son has died. He actually died today, and they're burying him today. So no time to grieve, no time to work through those things. It's immediately get things done, right? And so now she's lonely and destitute, and she'll now have to rely on other people for like leftovers to make ends meet. Verse 13 says, when the Lord saw her, and this would be one of those places where you could easily just continue to read and not make mention of this, but I think it's really important to stop for just a moment and say, wait, he saw her. There's a large crowd behind him. There's a large crowd surrounding this procession, and Jesus locks eyes with her, with the mother, with the broken-hearted widow who just lost her son that same day. Jesus locks eyes with her. He saw her. He saw her after 7 or 8 hours of walking. He's probably filthy, dirty, sweaty, exhausted. You can't just walk casually when you have a large crowd around you. And the first thing Jesus does after all of that is he locks eyes on this widow. He saw her. It's important to say, just so you know as well, with whatever is happening in your life today, in this moment, you need to know this is a large crowd, but Jesus sees you. He sees you, and he knows everything about you, and you're about to see what he does after he sees her. But just so you know, right now in this moment, you might think that God has no idea who you are. You might have walked up in this place today and said, Jesus has no idea who I am. He doesn't know me. Nobody knows me. I'm a nobody. I got no family. I have very little network, no community. Nobody knows me. I want you to know Jesus himself. He sees you right now. He sees you right now in the middle of this large crowd. He could walk up and down every row and every aisle, call each one of you by name. He sees you. It's a Jesus thing when we see people. When you see people, it's a Jesus thing. When they walk into this church and you lock eyes with them and you see people, you're never more like Jesus. When you volunteer and you're greeting, serving coffee, taking care of babies in the nursery, taking care of children in kids' church, when you're painting and someone walks around the corner, somebody walks into the room and you don't know them and you see them, Never more like Jesus. Never more like Jesus. We see people at this church. We see people in this ministry. We see people for who they are. We appreciate people. We love it when new people walk in these doors. This is the church where the doors are wide open. And when people walk in, we see people. Amen. We see people. We see people. We see people. Verse 13 says, and when he saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. He saw her and he instantly knew her. He knew her pain. He knew her brokenness. He saw her. His heart overflowed with compassion. It's so comforting to know that when I'm in pain, when you're in pain, God sees us and he knows what's happening in our lives. So good to know. He sees me. He knows me. He knows my pain. He cares for me and wants to comfort me. God ain't cold and distant. He's a loving, compassionate Father. You know, it's a Jesus thing when you see people and respond with compassion. And guys, we get to do this all the time around here. You get to do this all the time. Life group leaders, when they barely make it to life group and you can see all over their face and body language, life ain't been good to them over the last couple days. They're brokenhearted. They can't get a word out without crying. And you just stop and see them, respond with compassion. You're never more like Jesus. When a little kid in life groups is having a hard time, can't concentrate, seems to be too hungry, and you just stop the lesson, you see him, love him, care for him. Young people, you know, leaders of young people, when you see that young person walk in, you can just tell life's a mess for them. Come from dysfunction and you don't know what's happening. You just stop, see them, respond with compassion. You're never more like Jesus than when you see people and you respond with compassion when your heart goes out to them. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. And we get to do this all the time. Every time you go down to ICCM, every time you volunteer, every time you serve, every time you give, we have the opportunity to see people and to allow our hearts to respond with compassion. Let's never let this get old. Let's never get too Christian, too mature in Christ to not have a broken heart for the needs of people around us. Let's never, ever, 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 ever get to a place where someone's need don't stop you in the track, stop you in your tracks, and you don't see people and acknowledge their brokenness and pause and pray for them in the moment. We're never more like Jesus than when we respond with compassion. You know what compassion is defined as? I love this definition. When I allow your pain into my heart. Think about that. Compassion means I allow your pain into my heart. I'm gonna fill this with you. Someone's in a deep hole. Compassion says, I'm gonna jump in that thing with you. I'm gonna help you get out. Compassion is when I allow your pain into my heart. That it's more than just a checkup text, just to make sure you're still living kind of thing. Sometimes it's showing up and just sitting there with you. I don't got no advice. I ain't got no words. I'm just here because I love you and I see you and my heart breaks for you. My heart breaks to see you in this condition. My heart breaks to know that this is currently happening in your life. I am so sad to know that this is happening in your life. I don't have a proper response, but I just want you to know that I love you and I care for you. Psalm 103:3 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. 2 Corinthians 1:4-5 says, he is called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Raise your hand if you've ever been on the receiving end of God's comfort. You ever been on the receiving end of God's comfort? There's nothing like it. Can I tell you, the ones who give the comfort are the ones who love Jesus. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. So when you extend comfort to other people, they receive it as God is comforting me through his people. God, why would you send them to say that to me? If they only knew what that meant coming from them. When we serve people, we are serving on behalf of Jesus. When we serve people, we are serving on his behalf. Verse 13 says, when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. He said, don't cry. There's a place to stop there, but we don't have the time for that. 14 says, then when he walked to the coffin and touched it and the bearer stopped, young man, he said, I tell you to get up. Jesus talking to the dead. He tells him, get up. There's another, you can do this in life group all week long. We put it down in the extra notes for this passage. There's some things regarding, you know, uncleanliness for even touching the casket or the body. You can go through all that throughout the week, but nonetheless, Jesus broke some of the rules because he saw a widow whose heart was broken. And he had this sense that if I bring this boy back to his mother, it would not only bring me joy, but it would bring her great joy, and it would reverse her circumstances. Sometimes Jesus is interested in just stepping into your life because he takes great joy in being your comforter. Jesus takes great joy in being your comforter. And you and I, we also take great joy in serving other people and providing comfort to other people. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. For us, it might not be raising people from the dead. I mean, that'd be awesome, and we should try it. But it might not be raising people from the dead. But anytime we respond with compassion or meet people's needs, you sense the gentleness and the understanding, the personal interest Jesus had in her. He saw her, his heart responded with compassion, and he had this idea, if I give her back her boy, it'll make her day, it'll change her circumstance. I take great joy in bringing comfort to my people. And he did exactly that, and she received her boy. I'm sure, can you imagine the widow? Can you imagine the widow when that boy stood up? Can you imagine the joy that this widow felt in her heart when this boy stood up? It encourages people, and it points people to Jesus when we respond to their needs, when we sit and listen, when we respond with compassion. It does something in people. You can see this. Try it. 90 seconds. Walk up to somebody who ain't smiling with your big smile and see that it might just do something in them, for them. Jesus modeled for us what we're supposed to do to relieve human suffering today. He showed us what we can do. And we want to remind you today that regardless of what you do and where you do it here at Cedar Valley or even outside of Cedar Valley, that it's not just a good thing. It's not just a helpful thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's a spiritual thing when you serve. It's worship to God. It's sacrifice of praise to God. And so here's some ways that we can apply this. These are lifestyle ways that you and I can be more like Jesus. The first one is that we should see people. Let's do a better job of seeing people, to go to the pain, to go look for the lost. God, help me to notice people. Help me to notice people, to not run away when the situation gets messy, but to lean into the messy, to see people in their mess and to not run away from it. The second thing would be to respond with compassion. God, help me to see people and then help me to respond with compassion. Allow me to feel their pain. God, even if that causes me sleepless nights, I want to respond to people's needs with compassion. God, help my heart to break for what breaks yours. God, help me to feel the things you feel when you see people. God, I want to be more in tune with your spirit when I'm working with people, when I'm coming alongside people. God, give me divine wisdom. Give me the words to say. Give me listening ears. Help me to respond with compassion and not a critical spirit. Help me to never get to the place where I begin to become critical about the condition of other people's lives. No, God, help me to respond with compassion to the people that you are bringing into my life. And lastly, God, help me to meet people's needs. To realize you've blessed me, you've been good to me, you've been abundantly good to me, God. Now help me to be aware when you're nudging me, prompting me, guiding me to meet people's needs, to offer the grace of God to people and to invite them into my life. God, help us. God, help us. God, help us. So our big so what today. Here's the thing. I want you to say this all day long, all day long, all day long. Try to remember it tomorrow, but for sure, all day long today. Here it is. Here's our message in one simple sentence. Serving is not just a good thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's a Jesus thing. Jesus himself said, he said that he came to serve. He said that himself. I have come not to be served, but to serve other people. We're never more like Jesus, my friends, when we serve people. We've got to wrap up. The party's ready to go. I can see them all. Listen, do me a favor. Please, parents, go get your kids before you go to the atrium and get all your food. I know, you're tempted. You're like, we can steal 20 minutes and go eat. Just, we didn't know. I'm telling you, please, please, go get your children first and then come to the party. There's plenty of food, plenty of food. If you're visiting with us for the first time and you want to meet some of us, right through that door, you'll see us standing there right after service. Our prayer team's gonna come forward at this time. If you need prayer, if you're here today and you say, look, I wanna get to that party, but something's happening in my life today, I want someone to pray with you. We will wait to go to the party to pray with you. We will do that. We will do that gladly. We want to pray with you. We want to stand and believe God for whatever it is you are asking him for. So we'll do that. We'll do that. But when you make your way to that atrium, listen, we want you to make sure you know we are grateful for your service. We are grateful for your service. Thank you so much for making this ministry so beautiful. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your hand that is upon this church. And thank you for the many who sacrifice to make this ministry powerful, impactful. It extends our reach, God, and we're thankful for that. Be with us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everyone together said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.